HIV, it's kind of over there at the other way. I had two horses in a mule.
But they were old.
Well, the mule had to be put down at age 18 because she got some kind of bone spurs in her left rear heel. So once they can't really stand on her feet. Actually, mules live to
what?
My other horse is going to be about 35.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Mr. Rock, the last one. Good morning, everyone. I'm Mr. Rock, the last one. Good morning, everyone. I'm Mr. Rock, the last one. Good morning, everyone. I'm Mr. Rock, the last one. Good morning, everyone. I'm Mr. Rock, the last one. Good morning, everyone. I'm Mr. Rock, the last one. Good morning, everyone. I'm Mr. Rock, the last one. Good morning, everyone. I'm Mr. Rock, the last one. Good morning, everyone. I'm Mr. Rock, the last one. Good morning, everyone. I'm Mr. Rock, the last one. Good morning, everyone. I'm Mr. Rock, the last one. Good morning, everyone. I'm Mr. Rock, the last one. Good morning, everyone. I'm Mr. Rock, the last one. Good morning, everyone. I'm Mr. Rock, the last one. Good morning, everyone. I'm Mr. Rock, the last one. Good morning, everyone. I'm Mr. R comment period, which is for the public to make comments on anything that's on the agenda if they can't stay for the whole meeting. If you can stay, it'd be better to make your comment when we're bringing things up on the agenda. Anybody need to speak now? Yes, sir.
With your indulgence, I would like to address the advanced pump storage project.
Okay, I would like to introduce Evan Blythen, who has been on this council for more years than some of us have been alive.
27 years. I'm sickened everybody, yes. 10 years as its chair. And I appreciate that you're all still here and doing this. Many years ago, we dealt with this same project. And we voted upon it, and the proposal was rejected for reasons that I think are still appropriate. The proposal is inefficient and environmentally expensive. In this council's past discussion, independent engineers let us know that this was not a case, as it initially appears, of perpetual motion. It takes more energy to push that water up the hill than you get when you run it back down. The only profit to this is to the company that's making money off of our public land and our public resources. The second objection was even more important. We have a priceless national and international treasure that's in our hands. This project interferes with that environmentally. It takes up a lot of space in a canyon that's incredibly rare and sensitive. It's taking a beating as it is with all of the traffic, all of the trails going up to all the canyons are well used, the wildlife and flora taking an incredible beating, and it's us who have some say in the matter. This project takes a lot of real estate up on that hill and in that canyon. It's adjacent to the first and one of the best national conservancy areas, and it's kind of in our hands. So I think that the land is a public trust. It's managed by the Bureau of Land Management, and it should not be misused. The project might also be more dangerous now than it ever was before. I looked at the plans for it, and the plans are, I think, incredibly devastating. They show two roads going up to that hill, one from 160, one from 159. These are roads that a developer has been unable to get, but FERC will probably be able to get it, because FERC has an incredible amount of power. They brought that Kern River gas line down here with hardly any environmental concerns. They drove their way through it. This thing opens that hill up with two roads, water, and electric power. It's a developer's dream. If we allow this to go on, we will be ashamed of ourselves in years to come. Thank you for your time. I need to get back to my bed, but I still have the energy. Thank you for dealing with this.
Thank you, Evan.
Thank you, Evan.
Evan, you gave us a piece of paper. Did you want to make that part of the, you know, submit?
Yes, I would like that to be part of the record.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He only gave us five copies, so we got to make a copy of it. Thank you, Evan. We're not taking discussion on these public comments, so we'll have that later on in the agenda. Next up is approval of minutes for February meeting. No one here, so.
I vote to approve.
Anybody have any concerns?
Second.
Okay, everybody, it's the four people voted yes and one abstained. Next we have the approval of the agenda for today. I move to approve. Everybody good?
Yep.
Good.
Okay, unanimous. Informational items. We received a report from the Water District. We have our Water District people here. There we go.
Hey there. I was going to do it as a sock puppet through the...
Jordan Bunker and Eric Dad.
Good evening. Jordan Bunker with the Las Vegas Valley Water District. The monthly reading and data collection for the James Hardy North and South Wells was completed on March 21st, 2022. The data gathered indicates that the North Well has a static water level of 20.29 feet below land surface, and the South Well static water level is 20.12 feet below land surface. So that's a decline of just under 4 inches from last month, and just over 5 feet from March of last year. The system is currently in stable operating condition. On March 17th, there was a main break at a home on Bills Boulevard where a property owner struck a 4-inch main while doing some excavation work in the front yard. It was a fairly significant break, but the community water supply was never in jeopardy. Once crews were on site, the repair was able to be made relatively quickly. In the spirit of transparency, the property owner did everything that they were supposed to do. They called our line locators to identify where lines were. Line locators came out. The issue arose is that many of the plans and drawings that we currently have were inherited when we assumed operations of the system in the early 1990s, and unfortunately some of those drawings are inaccurate. So while the property owner did his best and he didn't dig or anything where we told him not to, ended up hitting a pipe. So if there's any good news, is that these new system improvements that we're going to be doing here over the next couple of years, we'll be putting in the new pipes and we'll be able to update the plans and the drawings that we have. That concludes my report. If there are any questions.
I spoke to Derek about for an emergency turnoff, right? Remember we talked about that? Is this a good time to tell everyone that?
Sure.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, you want me to tell them?
Yeah, you have more authority than me. You look like really like I'm telling you.
I spoke with Pauline, I believe it was last Thursday, and we were just kind of brainstorming maybe just a little bit about possible solutions to get a quicker response, because, you know, sometimes district personnel is a little bit far away. My two guys were in Searchlight. I happened to be at Tropicana Fort Apache, so I jetted up here and got it shut off. But we know sometimes we're a little bit further away than that. So reached out to Chief McGinn, the fire chief over the volunteer fire department. And he was willing to be kind of an assistance to us in that case. The kind of tentative agreement that we have right now is that if there's a main break and we can't get to it fast enough, we will reach out to him personally. And he will either dispatch or the people who are working with him that day will dispatch and we'll close the valves as directed and instructed by us.
So is it also possible for us to call the volunteer fire people directly? Because a lot of people don't know your number or know to call you, and they always end up calling the water district, and you know what happens then. They just, you know...
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, I know that you put my card on Facebook and whatnot. I guess if there's a way to get my number out there more, that would be the best direction to go, because a direct, you know, a call to me is basically a direct line to Blue Diamond.
So if we called Kevin, then Kevin could call you? Would that be a way for us to make it simple? Because everyone knows.
That's kind of the agreement that I have with him is, okay. If he discovers or finds out about a main break or one of his volunteers does, he can immediately call me.
Okay.
And like I said, we fortunately have access to facility maps that show where the valves are at on the intersections. Unfortunately, they're not always accurate about the pipelines, mm-hmm. but we do know where the valves are at, and so we can guide and from a distance, we can actually tell them where to go to close the valve.
Awesome. Thanks for making that happen.
Teaching.
There are three rain gauges that I usually go by here. The Blue Diamond North, Blue Diamond South, and the Red Rock rain gauge. Is it possible to get a rain gauge down by where the wells are?
I don't know. We're the ones that install the rain gauges.
Yeah, we don't install or maintain those. We just utilize them. I know we read the Red Rock Ross one, but I don't know that we look at any of the others.
Yeah, I just figured it'd be interesting. You know, they can get a ton of rain over there, and then it's not raining over here. So kind of look at it that way. I mean, you know, every time you look at the airport and they say that much rain, and up here we probably got a quarter inch of rain at time. So just out of curiosity.
Ask our hydrologists if that's something that we can do.
Bob, it's my understanding that it's snow in the Spring Mountains that governs how much water comes to our wells.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Forget I asked.
Okay. Yes, sir. Oh, I'm sorry.
Is
we
it
asked
possible
people to identify themselves before we...
Chief number two, Mariah. Is it possible to change the requirement on call before you dig to require potholing the vacuum truck to locate those utilities, because you know, hitting that water line, you know, every time you dig, you know, you're gonna hit it. Mm-hmm. You guys have no idea where it is. You're like 8 feet off. Mm-hmm. It wasn't 8 inches, it was 8 feet. So I think if there's, you know, just the probability of hitting it again is probably, there's not that much work going on. So to me, maybe when you call before you dig for the water, you know, on the properties, maybe you require the vacuum truck to go up there and locate those utilities where they're excavating. And it's not that big a deal. A couple hundred bucks. You know, it would save you guys a lot of grief and aggravation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you know that one was obviously the worst case scenario, right? And one of the worst case scenarios mm-hmm. that I've seen since I've been up here. I've never really put two and two together, but I know you guys have no idea where anything is, most of it, because you just assume control of it. You didn't put it in.
I think Chichin makes a good point. There's really so few vacant lots left that the amount of digging that's going to happen is probably under five people.
Plus, there's a moratorium.
Well, you can build if you have a water meter.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe that extra step could be taken for. If I was an individual and I was digging and I hit a water line, I would want to kill myself. I would think they would want every measure. Like, I know the person who hit the water line is dying inside, and it's not his fault. So, I mean, I agree with Chi-Chi. Like, couldn't the next person who calls take that extra measure? It's not going to be like on a regular basis. It might be once a year.
Are you suggesting that the utility goes out there in potholes, or
one or the other,
or the property owner does?
I mean, you either you want to pothole it or you want to fix it. Pick your poison. You're not making any money on either one.
You're not suggesting that.
I mean, you're not. Who are you going to charge to fix that line if you mismark it 8 feet?
Mm-hmm.
You have no recourse. You know, and the damage is done if you lose 150,000 gallons.
Right, an ounce of prevention.
Now I got to go rent water trucks to fill a swimming pool. You know, because we blew 150,000 gallons.
Uh-huh.
So just a thought. Just something you guys can think about. I know you got a million trucks, and you know, it's not that big a deal. You're charging people, you know, a couple hundred bucks to go up there and follow. If you don't want to do it, they can have somebody else do it. But I just think if there's a water line in the vicinity, I don't care, pick a number. If the water line's within 10 feet, you know, pick a margin error and say if the water line's marked within 10 feet, you got a pothole. But I don't think there's that much work going on.
No.
But it just seemed like we've been talking about it the last couple of weeks since it happened. It seemed like a simple alternative.
Like 9 Lassen's going to be a candidate.
Right.
Because they have a water meter, they can dig, they're going to be building, and it's exactly in the same area where people don't know where the lines are. So, you know, just I think Chi-Chi makes a great point, just an ounce of prevention instead of a disaster and a whole bunch of, you know, it's tough for the people who hit it. I mean, they feel horrible, and not to mention it's devastating for us. We've all been, like, you know, hand watering and, you know, taking short showers, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, a swimming pool in front of the apartment. It's devastating.
Yeah, that's certainly something we can take back as a suggestion from the town.
I think that's a great idea.
A potential future recourse for sure.
Okay. Thank you.
I got a question.
Wait, there's another hand up over here.
I got a question.
Three hands.
Okay. This weekend I had the opportunity, Glenn Barrett, 21 Cerrito, to observe something. And I was informed that a particular person is filling his pool and not going to stress our system. And he was paying for water being brought in. Well, and the first trucks that came in to the village. And from that point on, they went down the hill to the wells. Filled up from the tanks right at the wells. Now, I don't blame the owner, because I don't think that he knew what they were doing. He paid for water, all right, but I don't think he realized where they got the water. And so that might want to be looked into, because that was 8 truckloads of water, 800 gallons a whack.
Well, that's a trespass on certainty property, too.
No kidding.
Well, unless he contracted
it.
Purchased it from certainty. Mm-hmm.
But we don't know.
Yeah.
I just wanted to bring it to your attention, because the reason I knew it was happening is because they were only gone for maybe 20 minutes. They didn't have time to go down to Puyallupi to a meter, to a hydrant, a metered hydrant. And I don't know if those tanks are metered.
Okay. Did you tell Willard? Did you ever mention it to the property owner?
No.
Because I know that he contracted the company to get the water from
water. Well, I'm sure he did, and I know who it was, because it was on their door of their trucks.
That's fine.
The woman that was handling that, when they were bringing the water, noticed that I was watching them and got real nervous. Big time.
Well, I know that the property owner was very conscious about that.
Yeah.
I was with him.
I
don't think he did anything intentionally.
I think they decided they were going to get the water where they were going to get it.
That's wonderful. I'm glad you brought it up. I'll let the property owner know. That's who needs to know, not this board.
You know. And I think he already knows, because I talked to Ricky next door about it. I think Ricky even talked to him about it.
Well, maybe they should reimburse the water that they stole from the system and put it into our pool.
Let's hold up. We don't know that anything was stolen.
Yeah.
I say those tanks actually belong to certain
certainty. Right.
So yep. They're not coming from the design.
Well, how they get to
the So they use the same well.
Well, that's stressing the system, isn't it?
Those wells belong to certain teeth also.
Yeah, but it's still stressing the system. That's my point. Mm-hmm. Which was said it wouldn't be done. Oh. And yet, here we are.
Where did that come from? Where did what come from? Saying that he had to truck the water in.
He decided on his own to truck his water in.
That's okay.
Okay. There were other hands up. Whoever that is. Audrey
Dotson, 6 Aurora. Last time I came to the meeting, the water district said the meter was not working down there. You guys don't know really how much water is being pulled for roads up there. So I want to know if you guys got a new meter on there. Are you really monitoring the meter? Because the last meeting you said it was broke. You don't really know how much water is going through. We have our systems down. I think it's a priority that meter should always be running down there showing how much water is being pulled, put into those water towers. Because like Lynn says, it's 800 gallons per truck that leaves from down there. And there's an average of 20 to 50 trucks a day running from down there.
So that those water rights belong.
Yes,
to
I know
certainty.
That.
We do not have any authority whatsoever to meter or monitor.
Oh, there. I thought you guys before said you had a meter there.
No.
Metering how much water Rhodes is getting.
I'm trying
into
to remember
the
us ever mentioned that we have a meter broken.
So we don't know how much water Rhodes is
getting. State engineer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the state engineer would be the one to ask about that. And then also, I think back when Trent was on the board, he used to ask them regularly about the water use of the spring water that goes down the other side of 160. So we should probably get back to them and ask them some questions.
So basically, it's a guess of honor that Rhodes is pulling his foot amount and not more.
Well, he has to turn those numbers into the state engineer.
Well, and I can just say historically, they're using way less than they're allotted.
Yeah.
They're so below what they're allotted because they were allotted.
There's no meter unless you say the hydraulics have a meter.
Well, I think that how does the state water engineer measure? Because
Rhodes has got to have one there.
Yeah,
because he has to report, otherwise he loses his permit.
Yeah, there's a meter on the well that the state water engineer monitors.
But you guys don't get that report then.
It's not a state water engineer.
Megan, is that something you can help us with or no?
I'll ask.
Okay. Megan's going to check with the state.
Thank you, Megan.
The water.
Mm-hmm. Barbara.
Thank you all. Anything else for the water people? We really appreciate you. I've had the wonderful honor of going on a field trip to the North Well Field right in downtown Las Vegas where the original springs were in the valley recently. And there were five people from the water district telling us all of the things that they do, and many of them were very knowledgeable of the situation in Blue Diamond. And I came away with the sense that we're in very good hands. We're never going to be left without water. Unless the whole valley is left without water. So, yeah, much appreciated. Thank you.
We're here for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next on the agenda, we're going to receive a report from Metro.
Hi, Officer Kent, with Metro. Nothing really going on inside Blue Diamond. There's some issues in the park that we're assisting the BLM law enforcement officers with. That's car break-ins, that sort of thing. So, same thing that happens every summer.
Did you ever find out about the person who was killing the horses at the...
That's ongoing investigation. Mm.
So break-ins at the county park here in Blue Diamond?
No. Out in, when I talk about the park, I mean Red Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Is that including Calico Basin?
Yes, because it's all same with the park agency. Because Red Rock is Calico Basin's part of Red Rock Conservation.
So we're getting car break-ins in Calico Basin?
Yeah, also. Mm-hmm. It's been, as long as I've been working here, we have people that have no other means of providing for themselves other than being thieves. And,
So is that in the visitor parking lots or
yeah,
the homes?
We don't, in the visitor parking lot, Crafts Mountain parking lot, Red Springs, the Loop parking lot.
Are there any ideas about how to make this stop or to change the situation?
There's ongoing investigation. We've put cameras up. BLM, rather, has put cameras up, I say, in law enforcement.
Yep.
And we've got some leads.
Good.
That are being followed.
Really glad to hear that. Anybody have any questions or comments for Officer Kim? Yes, ma'am.
Dorothy Bangucci of Tumariah. There's been a substantial amount of RVs and vans that park up and down the 159. What are they allowed to? What's the parameters?
There's
on that?
No overnight camping in the park along the side of the road because the State Route 159 belongs to the state. So NHP controls along the state. They put up no parking signs in the area behind the range because of safety issues. A lot of those RVs are now down by the water retention station, the storm drain. The thing is that NHP has been, that's part of their area of responsibility. And we've talked to them about it, and they have not asked for our assistance.
It's fully legal. There's no.
It's not illegal to park on the side of the road and sleep now. So as of right now, if it's not marked, no parking, no camping, then you can do it as a citizen.
So if I bought signs that said no parking, no camping, and I put them out there?
You're being recorded, Chi-Chi. Stop it.
Okay. Well, then your sign wouldn't mean anything because it would be the state sign.
How would they know? I can make them look like those.
We have evidence.
You'll watch it. They'll put cameras up there.
It is just a lot of people.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much, Officer Kent. Now we're going to receive a report from BLM. Who's here from BLM?
Oh. It's all three of us. But I'm Shedra Extra, assistant field manager for the Red Rock Canyon National Conservation Area. I'm on 120-day detail, so for you all I met last time, hello again. I won't come with a laundry list, but for you all who have not met me, hello and good evening. So, short list today, just give you an update with the Legacy Trail. In a couple weeks, you should see an announcement, like a press release about phase one, segment one, that's coming from Summerwind all the way to the fee station entrance. So we will have an announcement soon for the public meeting. So we look forward to having you there. As you know, the Legacy Trail starts from Summerlin all the way down into Las Vegas BLM district, starting at Blue Diamond to the school 160, SR 160. So, sorry, this is Stephen Leslie. He's assistant field manager for BLM Las Vegas field office, so that's why I looked at him. But just to get reassurance there. So looking forward to this project. For some of you who weren't here last time, I did announce that we received SNPLMA funding for our phase three, follow me real quick, segment two, three, and four. And that runs from, actually 2B, 2A starts on the south side of 159 where one is going to start where someone is at and go across to like the campground entrance and then over to the front sign of the Red Rock across from the feed station. And then it will have an undercrossing to get on the north side and come all the way down here to Blue Diamond area. And so that will cover 2A, 2B, three and four. So we did receive funding for planning and designing for those segments. So that's an update for you all. And then five is going on now with the geotech surveys as well. Another thing I shared about the Cottonwood Valley Recreation Area Management Plan environmental assessment that is underway with drafting the document with the analysis from our resource specialist. So that's your next door course, and just wanted to bring an update that we're still proceeding on with it. Lastly,
so when would there be an opportunity for the public to see that and comment?
So we're in the draft mode right now. I don't have a specific date, but it will probably be late summer for something to come out, or early fall. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're welcome. A little bit update with our volunteering program. Our volunteer coordinator is now accepting applications at volunteer.gov. This is for the information desk for volunteers, of course, at our visitor center. So if you want to come out and volunteer, you can sign up at volunteer.gov. Our next new volunteer monthly orientation is on April the 3rd and April the 10th. And with that, information desk trainings are on the 14th of April and the 16th. Lastly, volunteer week is April the 17th through the 24th. So we will be hosting a coffee with a ranger series with volunteers Monday through Friday for volunteer week. So there will be a flyer out soon for you all to just gather information if you want to also, again, if you're a volunteer.
Anything else? Mm-hmm.
That's it. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Any comments or questions?
Okay.
Well, you're getting off late.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Last time I had questions, so thank you. I read on the minutes, he's on assignment in Elko, and then he'll be back with us later.
Yeah, sometime in June. So
he'll return.
And in the meantime, we're happy to have you here.
Thank you.
Okay, now we'll receive a report from Megan, Clark County.
I left it very short because we have a busy agenda. So Bob had told me about the sign over there.
Yeah.
Is it gone today or is it
no,
still there?
No, still there.
So it was another case where a permit was issued to put the sign there.
Oh, boy.
I know. Yeah, I don't know. Something is getting missed in the building department. So yeah, I know. Shocking. I know. But I don't know why it's happening, but this is the second time. As you can imagine, the sign guy wasn't very happy about it. He wants his fees back, and then the building department doesn't like to give fees back. So it's going to be removed. I don't have a specific date for you, but we're working on it.
Good. Okay. That's all you can do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... Well, and just like last time when we put in the code enforcement case, the code enforcement officer goes out and says, oh, it had a permit, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Well, code enforcement doesn't know about the Red Rock overlay. I mean, they're looking at the sign code. So it takes a little bit longer. So that's what's going on with that. And then I had sent out to you guys, and I don't know if any of you were able to share it on the Facebook page, that the public meetings about NDOT's corridor study of 160, 159, and I didn't write it down. It's going to be at the Blue Diamond Rec Center, Rec Hall, on April 5th.
Yeah,
April 5th. So if anybody's interested, I knew you guys were interested, so as soon as I got the information, I sent it to you. There's other opportunities, but there are ones in Pahrump. There's four meetings. So if you can't make that one, there are others, but none of them are that convenient.
Do you know anything about what sorts of things they're looking at? Or?
We talked about it, and right now I can't think. I know it's capacity.
Yeah. It's a study of the corridors, looking at traffic and recreation use, like bicyclists around the area, looking at both highways, state routes, 160.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I know capacity is one of the things they're going to be looking at. That's all I have, unless there's questions.
Questions for the county.
Megan, yes. What's our rules and regulations for the NDOT meeting? Usually there's just two of us that can show up for something.
You can go to that. That should be fine because it's not something you guys will be voting on.
Okay.
So, I mean, don't sit there and talk about it together. Just do me a favor. Don't sit.
Yeah.
Let's decide something. Please don't. Just better just sit separately
and just don't talk about it.
It just makes it all of our lives easier.
And the other thing is septic tank permits from Gary. He had called you on that where one of the neighbors wants to buy a property and he said they won't give him a septic tank permit.
Oh, I need to put him in touch with, it's something that has changed with the water district. Are they still here?
Yes.
There's a puppet show.
Are they really here or no?
Yeah, they are.
It's a change in a water district rule that wasn't announced very well to the community, and so people are getting stuck where they thought they were able to get something and they can't. So Gary had called me on it, and I dropped the ball on that one. I need to put him in touch with one of my other colleagues who's dealing with that issue. That's the only one I've had in my whole area. So she's got a bunch up in the Lone Mountain area. It's a big deal.
So is the rule, Megan?
I don't. Do you guys know?
Essentially, the rule is or will be essentially no septic systems for new development within the Las Vegas Valley.
Oh.
New developments?
What about like outlying areas?
Multiple developments or just a single?
In new developments, so new homes, new businesses.
Any new, just single home. Mm-hmm. You can't have a septic.
Yep.
I mean, like, what if you have like a...
And that is to ensure that everybody's hooked up to the sanitary sewer system so that all water that is used indoors isn't lost to the septic system but is returned to Lake Mead to be reused.
What if you're not near a sewer line?
You have to pay to bring it out.
Okay, like, what if you're in Lovell Canyon in the middle of the Toyobe National Forest?
What? No.
I don't know if Lovell Canyon uses Lake Mead water. I don't think it does.
No.
But it's for Colorado.
Oh, you're talking about anybody who's drawing water out of the municipal system has to be on the sewer system. If you have a well, you can have a septic. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay,
yes.
Got it.
And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. The rule right now is for Colorado River water.
Oh, so that means the person at the end of Bojangles will have to tie into the sewer system.
No, because we don't take our water from Lake Mead.
Oh, right.
No, I was thinking about that as well.
He already put his sewer thing in.
Okay, yes, sir.
Is that just a Las Vegas Valley Water District policy, or is that valley-wide, the city of Henderson, North Las Vegas?
Yes.
Because somebody told me North Las Vegas was not doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that's right in the middle of implementation. Right now, I think Las Vegas Valley Water District is kind of spearheading it, but I think it's something that all of the member agencies of the Southern Nevada Water Authority are going to be asked to look at very closely, and that includes City of Henderson, North Las Vegas.
Okay, anything else for the county?
Okay. I guess I do have one more question. So when a water line comes out, like on, say the water line, you know, when the water line moves towards you, then you're required to connect into the water instead of, and abandon your well. So that means you'll have to abandon your septic too, right? I mean, will they bring a sewer line when they bring the water line?
That's the plan. That's what's supposed to happen.
So you will have to abandon your well and abandon your septic. Whoa, that's going to be expensive.
And currently we have a well conversion program because we do encourage people to get off their wells and to hook up to the sewer system. We don't force them to do it, but we do offer a program and a financial incentive to do so, and we're hoping to do a similar thing to get people in Valley to hook up to the sanitary sewer system, again, so that water they're using is going back to Lake Mead just because drought.
Mm-hmm. Return flow credits.
Is that return flow significant in terms of water levels and stuff?
Extremely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when you consider that about 40% of the water that's used, that we pull out of Lake Mead, is used indoors.
Megan, I know you've given Gary a name or something else, but if this is a water district policy, usually for a septic tank, you got to go through either reclamation or the health district. So now the health district. It's kind of confusing. Yeah.
It's a lot confusing, and some people are getting stuck in the middle, and it's...
Yeah. We'll find more in the future at this point in time. So.
Yeah, it's a big issue.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Anything else for the county? Next item on our agenda is a planning and zoning item. It's a vacate and abandon easements of interest to Clark County located between Coca Road and Wounded Horse Trail and between Torino Avenue and Raven Avenue within Red Rock. And this is Mario and Shannon Iannucci. Is there someone here to speak to this project?
I am. David Turner with Boffman and Turner, and I can't pronounce his name either, so don't feel bad. We're asking for a vacate and abandonment of government patent easements. They're not being used for roadways or drainage purposes, and there's 33 feet along the south border, 33 along the west border, and 3 feet along Torino Avenue. So they're just standard government patent easements.
Mm-hmm. And county staff recommended approval.
Correct.
With no extra concerns other than normal ones. Any discussion?
I'd recommend approval. This happens all the time, right. So we're going to have a long meeting. So I'd recommend approval. And a surveyor was up there today marking the power lines and stuff on there. So
anybody want to speak against or for this item? Yeah, I think we're ready to have a vote then. Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It's unanimous. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Now, do we have Josh Eddy with Desert Dash?
It's his wife came.
Yeah. Oh, this is Josh Eddy.
We have our kiddos in a clinic tonight. We had to sort of divide and conquer. So I'm Ashley Eddy, and we're here for the Desert Dash 100K, 50K trail race that we did last year here. But the biggest difference this year is the date change. So this year it'll be November 12th. And really everything's the same. It's the same course, the same start, the same finish, the same trails, the same absolutely everything. So I don't know if you need me to go into any more detail about that event. We did want to ask for some feedback from the community of how it was received. Was it a good event? Did it bother anybody?
Didn't you guys run too late at night?
We did, yeah. Finish, well, it was throughout the day, and then the last finisher came in at like 4 in the morning. Yeah.
And you guys were pretty quiet.
Okay.
Because I went back up to the park.
Okay, good. That's what we wanted to know. We're like, I don't want to bother anybody.
About how many people would you expect?
Last year it was nearing 100. I'd expect similar numbers this year, but last year with just coming out of COVID, maybe it was a little bit less, maybe closer to 200. It's hard to say at this point.
Any discussion? Somebody posted on Facebook an announcement of a bike event for the county park coming up. Do you know anything about that, Megan?
I don't.
It sounded like a much bigger event than this. Huh. Does anybody know about it?
Joe Willard's. Yeah. They've been talking about that for quite a while. They came and talked about that.
They were here
over a year ago.
Yeah. Missed that one.
Sure. Yeah.
Was it downhill bike?
I don't know.
Mountain bike?
Yeah, it's mountain bike.
Yeah. So we're on feet.
Thank you very much for coming and letting us know and asking for feedback.
I have a question. When you do these things, you know, you told us to stick it to the community thing, and they use the community as a start finish. Is there like some common courtesy contribution to like the BDRA for anything? Because the BDRA is like a non-profit deal. Mm-hmm. And
It depends. This is a foot race. It's not a super high impact on the roads or anything. But the Willardson one, I think he had talked about giving some back. We can't require that. They have to go through the county because you're using public roads, but we can't require that. But if they come to the BDRA, you guys can ask for it. But I think most of them have a little component that, especially if it's a big impact. Like I said, a foot race isn't that big of an impact. So.
Every time I drive by that building, it costs me money.
What building? And we appreciate it. Thank you very much, TT.
A fundraiser every day.
Yeah. Okay, thanks very much.
Thanks, Ashley.
Next we have Southwest Gas. Representatives from Southwest Gas will share information about their upcoming project within our community.
Hello, my name is James Frame. I'm an engineering supervisor with Southwest Gas. I created some handouts that are over here if you haven't got one yet. And it has the project extents and some general information for what you can expect for the project. I also brought the contractor who's going to be working on the project and our construction group if you have any questions.
Hello, I'm Crystal with Nearest Pipeline. I know you guys probably received mailers. We were planning to start this off a lot sooner than what we expected. But after coming out here doing some walks, the right-of-way is not exactly pointed out. So we did have a survey come in, and what we've noticed is the right-of-way does fall into a lot of yards. So that was the first thing. And then the second thing is county restricted us to the school hours because of the school. So we are going to be pushing to start in June. That's our expected start date. There's about four phases, and we move pretty fast. So we'll be on your street four different times. First thing we do is we come and we camera the gas lines. We want accurate locates so that we don't damage any gas lines while we're doing the construction and installing the new gas lines. Second thing, the main crew will come through and start installing the new gas line. Third phase, the service crews will come through and they'll tie over your house to the new property. If you still have gas, there are a couple houses that we will be abandoning, taking the risers out. And then some of them are newer to where we don't have to actually install on the property, but we'll just tie it over to the new main. Third phase after that will be the restoration, or fourth phase will be the restoration coming behind us. One of the things, water district, when after the meeting, if we could meet, a huge thing is water lines. Especially that was one of our concerns too. Once we came out here, we've seen there's three water mains on one street. If the marks aren't correct, last thing we want is to damage the water line and put you guys out of water, wait for them to do the repair. So that we'll probably have several meetings with the water district before we start, because we want to make sure we do pothole our utilities. We pothole, you know, once they mark it, we come pothole it. Once if we don't find it, we'll call the water district out. Hey, we need your help finding it because we're not finding the line. So we'll do everything we can to prevent any damages. But if he doesn't have the right prints, there is a risk of us hitting the water line. Great thing is he already has the shut off with the volunteer chief, so that will definitely help out, but hopefully we don't have to use that. And I would say projected total will be about 3 to 4 months for us, and it'll just be different crews on different streets. We'll do a schedule once we get a little bit closer, so then I can bring that to you guys. You'll know, you know, projected dates. Some things happen, there might be delays if we you know, if we hit hard rock and it takes us a week longer to install the main, then we'll be delayed on getting to the next street. Pretty much it.
Question.
Would it be possible to get a key on this so we could read it and know what this means on your project extends?
Yeah.
The shaded area.
And the blue lines and.
The shaded area is basically the streets that we're going to be in. It didn't go into detail with any of our pipes or anything like that.
Okay.
It's just the extent on the street.
And then what's the blue mean on the streets that aren't shaded?
The blue is our pipeline.
It's just existing.
So, Mr. Frame, are you the person for a household member to contact if they have specific concerns about their vegetation and landscaping?
That would be me,
okay, so who are you and how do we contact you?
We got cards, lots of them.
Okay, lots of cards. Why don't you bring them up here?
I'm the lead inspector. And
what is your name, sir?
Jerry Broder.
Jerry Broder.
And I'll leave my business card.
Okay. I know one of our neighbors is very concerned about a big, beautiful tree that
she's already called.
We already taken care of that. Yeah.
She called me. I didn't.
And Megan called you. Right here.
We've already taken
care of that. Thank God to these wonderful people. But yeah. If anybody got any concerns, here's your people to contact. They'll leave their business cards. And if you don't feel they're answering or asking your questions, I'm Dwayne. I'm part of the government affairs team. Please reach out to me as well.
I didn't even know you guys had gas here. You guys are my only town that I have that had gas. So when she said there's gas lines, I thought, what are you talking about? So they responded right away. They worked it out with her. And here they are with the information.
Dwayne,
so thank you all for
asking. Action you shall receive.
Dwayne, what is your last name?
McClinton. Now I'm running to the car crew, wrapping business card for everyone.
And you're with Southwest Gas?
He's government affairs. Yeah.
Our goal, the number one method of install that we will try before we do anything else is directional bore. We want to go underground. We don't want to disturb as much as possible. Once that fails, or if there's any issues, say there's a water line that might be too close, then we'll go to other methods like the open trench. So I know with what we usually do when we're going to work on the property, we can meet with the owner, what their concerns are, show them, okay, well, this is going to be our path. We're going to run it from here to here. I think I already have about 5 residents that have called into the hotline, so I do have those numbers saved so we know, okay, we're going to meet, we're going to talk about it before we do. They notified the house 2 days prior to us working on it, so hey, in 2 days we're going to be working on your service, so then that gives us plenty of time to go over any questions, concerns. But we will try to go under first before we have to do any open trench.
When you notify the house, that means you put a card on the door?
Yeah, there's like a door tag, and it'll have instructions on it, and then it has a phone number for a contact.
So that works unless they're out of town when...
Right. Yeah. So basically how that works is, mirrors will put you on a temporary gas bottle. It's about this big. All that does is keep your pilots lit. Okay? So that's why the 2-day notice, so you can make arrangements. It's just to keep your pilots lit, They have plumbers. They'll come inside, assist you, turn down your hot water heater if that's needed, so it doesn't kick on that day. Ask you not to use your gas that day. That just allows them not to come into your home to relight you if they lose you.
So I'm kind of interested in this too. Are you going to go to every single house in this shaded area to do this, or some of them are already set?
Some are replaced, some are tie overs because the service is already new, because no other pipeline's been in here previously.
Okay.
And some are getting retired. It looks like only 4 retired, 12 tie overs, so the homeowner should know if somebody's been there recently, maybe in the last 10 years.
No.
And then that's the area of the main, that's all the main. And the services are just on a separate sheet. But
wait, when I leave my card, do they have any questions? Do they want to know if they're getting a pool replacement or just a tie over? They can give me a call on
that. Yeah, so everybody lives on these sheet streets in the shaded. Call the gas company and find out what they're doing.
I definitely got issues with you. She's with Mears. That would be us.
My name is Glenn Barrett. I live at 21 Cerrito. I just spent $12,000 for a new gate and new driveway. And your guy came and put a nice yellow stripe right in the middle of it where my water line is that I had to have replaced, along with the sewer line. You're not tearing up my cement. I'm letting you know that right now. My gas line comes in from across the way, across the fence, comes in right across 19 Cerrito's yard, comes right up underneath my mulberry tree and runs behind where I've got my trailer in there to the gas meter. Does not come from the street. Comes down the street. The reason I know it's there, because we put a new sewer in 19 and we found the pipe.
How'd you find it?
We were digging. Did you call 811?
We knew what it was.
Yeah, it does show, it actually shows, now this, we can, when we meet with you, we can always move it. It is designed to run it on your property and not your neighbors. It shows it on 19, but it shows it's installing it on your property line.
See, 19 doesn't have it, yes.
No, but your line runs on 19 and then at 90's over.
Yep.
So it shows us installing straight onto your property instead of doing the 90.
Yeah, that's where you're going to be under my cement that I just put there in my new gate. We're going to have a problem.
Well, we have the board. We as long as there's no utilities that would conflict with us.
No, I got sprinkler lines in there. I got water lines in there. You got sewer lines.
They hire a third party contractor to.
Oh, believe me, you're a guy from State.
State. Okay, but that's not third party.
No.
So, if we start running into problems with, like you said, sir, you have unknown utilities. These guys hire a company called Bloodhound. They're a third party locator, and they come out. They're gonna put paint down, but paint can be power washed off. It's so they know where the utilities are. So that's private property, because the entities will not go on your private property. So if we know you're already concerned, we'll have them come up with Bloodhound and take care of that. And because you're already concerned, Southwest Gas can move a house line, 6 feet. So if you'd like that moved, and we don't want to cut your concrete,
my concrete. There'll be war.
Okay. Well, the problem is the riser is a 42-inch riser.
There will be war.
So,
this electric company found that out one day.
Okay. Please take his business card.
Yeah,
we'll work,
see what it looks like, and there's a lot of options to install it, so we'll figure it out.
We're right here. So, I'm all about customer service, so we will have a conversation with you and see what the best method to accomplish what we need to accomplish.
Right. I'm at 21 Cerrito.
I got it. Right here on my map. I circled it big.
Please get our business card and we'll be in contact with you.
Okay.
Anything else for the gas issue? No. Yes, sir.
Existing gas line is along Cottonwood here. I'm sorry, Dave Cook, 13 Cottonwood. Existing line is right up near the homes. Is that going to be abandoned or removed?
It will be abandoned in place.
Okay.
Blown clean, make sure there's no evidence of gas. Take our gas checkers, make sure there's no gas in that if we're done.
And the new lines will be done by the street?
New lines, that's why you already see some locates out there, because we're going to probably do a design build on this because of the 3 water lines on a lot of the streets. So we're trying to get everything located first, do some potholing, then turn in our revisions to Clark County so they can approve the prints. Because like now, the right-of-way like Crystal was stating, a lot of the homes are in the street right away. So we want to put it in the best possible location so we're going to still have access. Not underneath your property, because we don't want, you know, your property's on the right of way, but we know, we understand, you know what I mean? So, the only lines that will be taken out, probably be your service lines. Sometimes we use a split and pull method. So we actually run a cable in the old line and split and pull the line in with a sleeving, and then we put our carrier pipe inside that sleeving.
Okay.
Other than that, the main staying place.
One for you. One for you. One for you.
Get them all. Anything
else for the guests?
Have a good evening, sir.
Take care.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming to explain things to us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, please leave lots of cards. Oh, there's another question?
Right over here.
Yes, sir. Chi-Chi.
That one, real quick. Does the county, I mean, you got all these improvements going on to the gas company and the water company. You know, there was some conversation about, you know, why are we not doing some internet upgrade or something for the village or try to connect the dots? But I'm kind of concerned about too is the what are these roads going to look like when they're all done? Is there a plan or is there a...
So for the gas serve, we get with the Clark County inspector and we set limits with him. It's from Clark County. They set how big, how wide.
Their standard.
And their standard. Their third-party contractor is a company called J&J Asphalt or Enterprises. They've been in business for over 34 years. They do a great job. But the limits are set by Clark County.
No, but I'm looking at the overall.
Right, I'm just speaking for the gas.
Aside from you, there's a big water line project.
Right.
And I was just thinking, I mean, is it time to consider let these guys just temporary patch everything, let the water district temporary patch, let them all contribute money towards a permanent patch and pool all that money and get a little money from Biden?
Who invited you, Chi-Chi?
But I'm just saying,
well,
these roads aren't in the best condition as they are.
Right. I guess from, you know, a 50,000 foot view, you could coordinate all of them, but then we'd have to hold them up to do the water line. I will talk to Public Works about that idea, but I don't know. I think that would be different than the way things have been done, and, you know, the county's not great at doing stuff different. but I'll ask. That's the best I can do.
Give me your number.
Oh, I've got his number.
I'm just saying here's an opportunity to maybe think outside the box a bit and see if there's a way to benefit from all these upgrades. I appreciate the investment in our community, and I appreciate having gas in my house, believe me.
Thank you.
And a lot nicer than propane, trust me. And so thank you very much for that. But the water line people, you know, they're going to be doing the big, you know, they're basically putting in all brand new water lines in these streets and abandoning all these water lines in people's front yards. And so, which is a good thing as well. And they got a $10 million grant and they get to do all the things, but we end up with a road with a patch. So I'm curious why some of that $10 million grant isn't given or contributed towards
those water lines,
the road patch.
How soon is that going to start after us?
Probably 2 to 3 months out from today.
Same
construction will start.
That's not
good. Yeah, at the same time. We got water.
Yeah. Well, maybe it is. They'll be on site.
Well, actually, J&J Asphalt did your guys' restoration as well as ours. So if you want to take the one side of the street, we'll take the other side.
And you're replacing every water line in here? Okay.
A big majority of them.
Okay, well, maybe you did bring that something, Chi-Chi. So maybe we could talk about coordinating. Maybe it's something, you know, maybe we haven't done it before, but maybe there's an opportunity there. So I'll talk to Public Works and see.
And how long is your budget projected to be?
About a month long.
Do you have a card?
Just 1 month?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, that's great.
I will reach out and I'll get something coordinated.
And a little internet
Listen, stop.
No, these are.
Oh, they told us. They said you guys want to go find a fiber company to do it.
Some amazing technology called fiber. You're about 5G or something.
Then you go find it and have them come and talk about it.
All right, I think we're ready to move on to the next item. Everybody ready?
Well, thank you, Megan. I appreciate you having me.
Thank you.
If you have any questions, please reach out. Y'all have our cards on the table.
Thank you very much.
All up here. Good. Okay.
Thank you.
No, you're right.
Can we hold off on that? So there's not.
Oh, yeah, I'm just grabbing.
Those are diplomatic people.
I want to make sure I have them. I didn't see her come up.
He just kept those studies.
I think it'll be interesting if this coordination between the water project and the gaslight project happens. That would be very cool.
Okay, so we have one more big item on general business. By my request, we were able to get Rex Waite, the president of Control Technology, to come tell us about his dream for the Blue Diamond Advanced Pump Storage Project. So thank you so much for coming to talk to us.
Well, thank you for having me. Good evening, everybody. My name is Rexford Waite. I'm from San Diego with Control Technology. I'm also an engineer. This is an informational visit. I'll probably give you maybe a 10-minute briefing on the project itself as well as where the facilities are. And then after that, we'll open it up to questions. Dan Greenwell is here with me. He'll hand out some PowerPoints and stuff if anybody wants it. This project has been, as you guys know, in the works for probably 20, 25 years on and off. Just so everybody knows, we have nothing to do with the mine. We have nothing to do with the developer on top of the hill with the houses. We're strictly working on the licensing of the advanced pump storage project up there. As you guys know, it's a long process right now. It's probably about 2 years on permitting. If it was built, it would be another 4 years. So these are long projects. Basically, at my age, if you develop one of them and permit it, you're pretty well in retirement. So these are long-winded projects. Okay, so what is this project? It is a 450 megawatt advanced pump storage. So it's hydro.
450? The thing said 4,500.
Yeah, no, it's 450 megawatts.
Okay.
And then does everybody see that glass jar right there? Does anybody here believe that water can be a good battery? Water is a fantastic battery. As you guys know, with Hoover out here, you have a good idea about hydro and what's going on. Now, this project is a closed-loop hydro. So it doesn't entrain fish. It doesn't go in rivers. Basically, the water transfers from a high location to a lower location and gets pumped back and forth. So let's start with the project facilities that are closest to you. So over here in the active mine, if you take the mine access road all the way up to the very top, at the very top where the antennas are on the right, you go to the left, that's where the head lake would be. It's been actively mined for years. We would build and construct basically a 5,000-acre lake up there. The surface area of it would be about 80 to 100 acres. And that lake would sit up there, and then there would be a what we call a penstock. So that would be the intake, and it's 21 feet in diameter. It goes through the ground, and on the east side of the mountain there, because we need a fall, there would be a lower head lake, and that's about 4,500 acre feet down below. And so those two lakes would be connected with this 21-foot penstock. And about 300 feet below the surface on the other side of the mountain would be two reversible Francis hydro turbines. So again, at the surface, you've got two, say, 80 to 100 surface acre reservoirs or small lakes. You have a 21-foot pipe that goes down through the earth. You have a powerhouse on the other side that's 300 feet deep with two turbines. So those are the basic facilities. It's got to have a power connection to MB Energy. That goes east. It's about 3.5 miles. That's how the power comes into the facility. the project is largely a large mine project. It's not much different than the gypsum mine. We have to go up there and we have to bowl out a reservoir. We have to bore a penstock. We've got to bore out a shaft on the other side of the mountain for the generators. This is a mature technology. Hydro in the United States has been around for 100 years. This isn't anything special. The reason why the projects and like this are there is strictly Mother Nature. The way these things are rated is L over H. So the higher you are, and the shorter the distance between the lakes, the better the pump storage facility is. And as you guys could imagine, at the top of Blue Diamond, looking down the other side, that's about as steep as the hill as you get. So that fall from the upper lake to the lower lake is about 1,500 feet, and that makes it a world-class pump storage. That's why back and forth over the years, this project has been looked at over and over again. It's just a rare asset. With that, as far as the other technologies go, water is a super precious resource out here. I heard your talks tonight, no kidding, right? And so the lakes themselves will have a geomembrane liner in them so that no water can go into the water table. It will have a floating cover on it, very similar to a swimming pool. And the object here is to try to eliminate evaporation any way possible and any kind of water getting into the groundwater table. So basically you'll have initial fill of about 9,000 acre feet. After that, depending on what type of cover we have, evaporation could be in the range of, let's just call it 80 to 100 acre feet. So what happens is the water just goes up and down the hill through the turbines. Now, let's talk about the efficiency.
When you said the evaporation of 80 to 100 acre feet, over what period of time?
Every year.
Per year.
Yeah, every year. And so that's the number we're concerned about. We're not so concerned about the initial fill. It's the evaporation we really want to try to limit. and at the end, you guys feel free with all the questions on this. But anything that's relevant, bring it up as I go along. The units will be built, Boyd Siemens, they're built in York, Pennsylvania. Most of the equipment is American. Obviously, all the construction would be American. What you would see at the top of Blue Diamond here, or actually from the town, you wouldn't be able to see anything, but maybe down the highway a ways, you'd see a berm on the western side of this reservoir that's up there. Again, it's been actively mined, so what we would do is pull out the lake, build it, construct to get the intake in it, and then we'd probably revegetate it. There is some opportunities on that mine and around there to try to fix that area up a little bit and do some remediation. It's been mined for years. It's just full of shafts and holes. Down below on the other side, none of that really can be seen from this side. It would be the houses on the eastern side across the BLM lands there. Again, they might be able to see a berm on that forward side of the reservoir. We really don't want anybody near these facilities. We really don't want anybody in these lakes. They're an attractive nuisance for kids, so they'll have fencing around them and access roads. The location of that reservoir up here is wedged in between the private property and the conservation area, and all of our facilities are on BLM lands. We shifted everything around over the last, say, 6 months to make sure that we avoided those areas. Impacts to the town, all large hydro facilities have impacts. Our biggest concern is here at Blue Diamond is traffic. So we want to make sure and bring in construction equipment at night. We want to make sure and bring work guys in on their shifts and buses. Other than that, the traffic and the nuisances are very similar to the mining operations now, but less so because our area is a lot smaller than a mine presently. The need for this, what keeps bringing this thing back, and I'm sure it's frustrating to you guys to see this thing pop up over and over again, is that right now they shut down a coal plant, this is MV Energy, and right now they have very, very large solar fields, as you guys know. Solar comes up during the day. The peak right now is from 6 to 9 p.m. So this project is redesigned now to basically take solar power during the day, store it, and then it will be generated or discharged between 6 and 9 p.m. every night, and this would all be basically in NV energy. They need about 1,000 to 2,000 megawatts of storage. The reason why pump storage is so ideal is this would be about the equivalent of 4 to 5,000 containers of batteries. So water is a very, very efficient source of storing energy. It's clean, doesn't have, you know, heavy metals, doesn't have rare earths, and, you know, the only thing we have to try to do is just keep evaporation down. Efficiency, a project like this is very, very efficient. It's about 83% at the primary level, and that means if you give us a kilowatt hour of solar, you're going to get 83% of that kilowatt hour back. So it's not like batteries that discharge and batteries that age out. Water doesn't. Water is just a wonderful storage device. So with that, I don't really have a lot to add. These permitting processes go over 2 years. There'll be lots of opportunities. There's a comment period open now. There'll be lots of times where there's comment periods. There'll be a lot of scoping of this. It's being licensed by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission in D.C. These projects, you know, it's all Washington, D.C., and a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of environmental work. And part of the work we've already done, part of it we'll be doing some more work, and then, of course, the federal government will come in, and a lot of the closing, you know, terrestrial biology and all that kind of stuff will be done by the FERC themselves. They'll produce a draft NEPA document, later a final NEPA document. So every one of these time periods, the doors will open and close for comments from the public. And so with that, I'd like to open it up to questions.
I'm going to start, please. Do you interact with Nevada Energy? Is there somebody at Nevada Energy who has endorsed this and said, yes, this is something that we really need and it will be beneficial to us?
Yeah, we've been working with both their power procurement department and, of course, their interconnection groups. And that's been to understand what they need from the facility, because in the past, the way these worked is they would use excess power at night and store it and then discharge it during the day. And so these things are basically being flipped the other way now. So in working with their staffs, we've determined the sizing, the discharge profile, and the interconnections. And then as you guys follow them with the CPUC, you can see you know, what they've defined as their storage needs over the next 5 or 6 years.
Is there a name that you can give us, or somebody I can contact and get my question?
Yeah,
I'll
tell you what, when I get back to the office, because I got your contact info, I'll send you contact.
Thank you. Great.
So okay. This energy will all be PPA with NV Energy then?
Correct.
Okay.
And this would serve about 500,000 homes.
Okay,
so this is a big generator.
I guess I have one comment. I'm in a similar industry. I don't know if everybody knows that the DOE has a couple mandates. One is 2030 and the other is 2050. And by 2050, we want to be all renewable. So we want to shut down all the gas, nuclear, everything, right? The only way we can do that is to have these type of storage. We can make energy when the wind blows and the sun shines, but we all like energy all the time. So if we don't have storage, we can't get off the fossil fuels. So in light of, in contrast to what evidence stated, you know, earlier, that it's a negative energy, you're using more energy than you're producing, it's not true. You are, like you said, you're 83%. We're making this energy with solar, we have to store it. And sure, we're not using it, we're not getting 100% back, but if we want to get to be total renewable, we have to have projects like this. And sure, it may be in our backyard, but we also like electricity in our backyard.
In your experience, is 83% a good number?
83% is a great number.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, batteries are good for 10, 12 years, but after 7 or 8 years, they start to deplete, and then you've got a big disposal problem. And there's only so much lithium. Then you got to replace them. You got to get rid of it. But this technology's been around for years. How long has the dam been running on hydro, right? Mm-hmm. These guys are just using gravity and water. It's great technology. I guess my only question is, what type of water treatment do you use and what system?
You know, that's a good question. We have a little bit of a temperature problem here, which is why we're putting the covers on it. There's been some talk also about maybe some floating rafts and actually putting solar collectors on the floating roof. And then probably it would be the typical stuff that you would use in large municipal storage tanks. You know, we probably need a little bit of chlorine and stuff like that, and some biocides, just to make sure we don't get a lot of algae development.
We don't want Legionnaires breakout.
Exactly.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. You know, there was talk years ago about doing some potable water, but right now with the water situation, it's not going to happen. So it's just the water just goes up and down the hill.
When we met with the commissioner, we talked about would it be possible to use gray water for that. But I'm thinking not if you're talking about
the bacteria. Yeah, Legionnaires' disease is bad things, airborne, and and algae.
Going to be running a line from the Cougar Reservoir?
Right now, what would happen is down Blue Diamond Road, we would extend a header to the facility. And, you know, our biggest worry is just the initial fill of it. And then after that, you know, the water consumption is pretty low to make up the evaporation.
Well, and you also have dust control on the roads that you're going to be using water. I mean, I'm just doing a simple math on it, you have 10,315 acre-feet of water. That's enough water for 20,000 homes in Las Vegas. That's over 3 trillion gallons of water.
Yeah.
I just can't wrap my mind around that being acceptable. And then not to mention, you mentioned raptor control, that, you know, into the transmission lines, relocating Gila monsters and other desert tortoise and chuckwallas, and I mean, this is a pristine recreation area, and there's not very much place for habitat anymore. So this whole thing just to me flies in the face of common sense. I just don't understand taking water for 20,000 homes. It just in an area that's a recreation area, building a berm for the visual blight. You also have the sound of blasting for people who are recreating, putting construction vehicles on 159 when we already have way too many trucks on that road. There's bikers on that road. There's nothing about this that makes sense to me at all.
Thank you. Appreciate your comments.
Is there a similar project that you can direct us to that we can look at that's already completed and in use?
Yes, there's one up in San Francisco. And, it's just north of there. It's about 1,000 megawatts. Mm-hmm. The name escapes me. There's a 40-megawatt unit down in San Diego at Lake Hodges. Castaic is a big one. And I can get you a list across the United States. You know, honestly, you know, there's a lot of them installed. There hasn't been a lot of new ones installed, but it's a great technology. Again, the interest is simply to, if you don't store the solar, you're going to lose that energy because it's needed between 6 and 9 p.m. when the sun sits. So that's really the motivation for doing this. There's really no other motivation.
I know I'm going to sound like a NIMBY, but what is special about this hill? Is it because of the road access? There are a lot of mountains in this valley. Why can't it be done on another mountain where there's less activity?
We've looked at that over the years, and we take cartography and we look for sites, and there's a whole myriad of things. It's distance to load pockets, power lines, the geography, the stability of the soil, locations of water for fill, and believe it or not, there's only, I would say, right now currently in the West, maybe 10 good sites. So this is a very...
In this valley?
No, in the geography, say out about 4 or 5.
I'm a geologist, so I've drilled holes all over the state. Mm-hmm. And
I'm sorry, I don't know who you are.
Argument about the soil.
Can you tell us your name, please? I'm sorry. Can you give us your name, please?
My address.
Your name.
Your name.
And address.
Mike Ritchie, R-I-C-C-I.
Thank you.
Did that answer your question?
No, not really. All right. So, you haven't built anything like this anywhere in the last
15 years.
Yeah, you know, there has not been one built in a while. You know, I don't have the exact time, but it's just been, you know, I guess a whole ton of issues. It's been getting the revenue in to build them because they're very expensive. And but right now, what's really driving this, as I mentioned, is the solar. And then the fossil plants coming offline.
Earlier you mentioned that when you're done, there's two roads to this facility. Can it be designed without those two roads?
Well, we wanted to obviously use the mine road because it's really well prepared. And we have the same type of equipment going up there. The BLM doesn't want us to use that road, which is where we created the second road. And, you know, if we have to, we can even build a tunnel up there. We prefer not to, but we could do that.
When you say the second road, is that the one from 160 to the lower reservoir?
Yes.
It's the pipeline road.
So the one that goes to the upper reservoir, is that, because the way it looks like it's on the map, that's not the same.
It's not the 2473.
Because it's showing us before Blue Diamond. So is it from the main mine headquarters?
Who maintains those roads?
Yeah, there's some of
the roads. The existing one is beyond the town.
Right.
The
other one is the pipeline road.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, feel free to chime in. We're happy to come back, too. So this one here shows the new road that would be put in. But the mine road, I believe, comes down somewhere.
Okay, so
here.
The mine road is not on the map.
Right.
Okay, so that's a new... So both these are would be new roads. Correct.
So in here in our area, we've been very concerned over many years about development on top of the hill. I bet you know that. And so the fact or the idea of putting another road in that can become paved and become access for, you know, 5,000 homes up there is a big concern.
Not one road, it's two roads.
Yeah. Well, the other one doesn't go up the mountain.
Because you're not even referring to the existing road.
But yeah, we would prefer to use the existing mine road.
If you can't use it, you can't use it.
Right.
We end up with a byproduct, that's the question. And then, how many people actually work on this thing during the construction?
There'll be about 500 workers split on one side of the hill and then the other.
How many people work on this after the construction?
Probably about 50. And the construction time on this, I think, is about 8 to 10 million man hours of construction. So it's,
what does that mean? It just means
that there's lots of labor hours involved in the tunneling.
Like 5 years, 6 years, 2 years?
Oh, 4, yeah.
4 years.
Yeah. So this lower road here, this is down below the hill. In the open desert area there?
Yeah, that's roughly the access road that kind of follows the gas pipeline.
It's the pipeline.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And this one here goes up the side of the, around the factory and goes up the mountain?
Correct. That's
it looks to
how
me like...
Well, initially, we'd really like to have it at about 20 feet, but later it can be taken down quite a bit just for access.
It looks to me like it goes right through that giant fill that they placed up there.
Yeah. It's just about where Rose wants to put his road.
Is that a coincidence, or have you been interacting with them?
No, we haven't. And as I told you, we understand your sensitivity. And ultimately, you know, if the road needs a gate, we're happy to do it. We don't want anybody up there.
Would it be possible to widen that road after you're finished with it and use that as for Rose to build his...
No, if we do it as an easement, I think we would have a gate there. We don't want people up there. We're worried about kids getting up in the reservoir and drowning. So
there's no recreation opportunities?
No, we wish. Yeah, it's just not going to happen because the water supply is so limited. It could be, you know, if we had more water, it could be a, you know, beautiful lake up there.
100 acre feet of water, that's how much water we have?
But that's the evaporation. We use 115.
So much you have in the whole town, right?
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't include dust control on six miles of road.
Yeah.
And that's on a daily basis. We just got the mine to quit using water on their road. They use 20 acre feet a year.
How did they do that?
They're using magnesium to stabilize. The only thing they're doing now is just magnesium
chlorate.
Where
are they getting their water from?
Pardon me?
Where are they getting their water from?
Well, he said new Cougar Reservoir.
They're getting it from Lake Mead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your documentation also said the Moronto Reservoir. I don't know where that is, but I assume it's Lake Mead water.
It's on Wall of Life.
Yeah, you know, the water has gotten a little bit weak on. We have another consultant for that. But he's given us a report on the water supply, and we understand how precious it is. It's a big problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the since the purpose of closed loop hydro is to store solar energy, basically, right? As of now, this project does not include its own solar. You're storing solar generated elsewhere in the system, basically, during peaks on light hours, and then it's being used to pump the water uphill, and then from 6 to 9 p.m., it will be used to generate electricity by letting that water flow back downhill, right? I understand what you're doing here correctly.
That's correct.
Okay. The only thing is that isn't the point of the solar system, the solar generators, to basically buffer the peak usage so that we don't have to build power plants for peak usage. Instead, the sun's giving us the energy we need for peak usage, and you're saying you're going to draw that off just so we can have a little more electricity from 6 to 9?
That's correct.
I mean, we're looking to go by 2050 total renewable. Get away from all fossil fuels.
Yes, hopefully that will not happen, though. But
why?
Because yeah. I don't think it's really going to be feasible.
Well, but you know, the Department of Energy, our U.S. Department of Energy, is pushing for this to be on renewables by 2050.
Mm-hmm. What about wind?
What about wind
on top of that hill? There's tons of wind on top of that hill.
No, I mean,
wind is a terrible source. Yeah.
Anyway, if we don't have storage, we can go all renewable. And the DOE's pushing on this. You look at how much solar has been brought on in the last 10 years. Right now, I think 20% of all electricity is renewable.
So we're talking about lights out after 9 o'clock because we're not storing any solar, but we're not producing any fossil fuel generators.
Right, crime and everything else. And you're talking about 100 acre feet of water?
We're talking about 10,000 acre feet of water.
10,000 acre feet of water. Well, yeah. No, that's just the storage. You're talking about 100 acre feet per year on...
Plus dust control. Evaporation.
But that 100 acre feet of water per year is going to generate 165,000 megawatts of power.
Which is apparently enough for 500,000 houses.
Can I ask a silly question? Please do not.
Yes, you can ask a silly question.
Nothing too silly.
This might sound really silly.
Yeah.
Does it have to be water? Could it be olive oil? I mean, could it be... And I know some of the solar plants, they create the energy by superheating, like the ones down in... By Prim, they have...
That's my plant.
Salt.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So Dallas's plant, right? It superheats the oil. Isn't there some oil or something? There is a plant down there.
I think it's salt.
Okay.
Molten salt.
Okay, well, could it be molten salt?
No, because it solidifies at 600 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay, but could it be olive oil or canola oil, which is a renewable?
There is fluids, but no, water is...
Yeah, it's basically water is 8.33 pounds a gallon and has very low losses and pipes, and so it's desirable. But it could be other things.
Well, I'm just saying that the water is the big problem. So maybe look for an alternative. Just throwing that out there. Just thinking outside the box.
Mr. Ricky.
Richie. There's two types of solar plants. There's a photovoltaic plant, which uses silicone chips using the photoelectric effect. What you describe at the Harry Reid Power Station, that's called a solar thermal plant that uses mirrors to heat oil, okay? But the oil is usually not stored, okay? So there are strategies to store thermal power, to store solar power at night. Water is one of them, okay? They've tried spinning flywheels, gigantic flywheels, and then letting the flywheel spin down at night. They tried melting salt. The Russians have a very good design that melts salt during the day and lets the salt crystallize at night. You can compress air, right? And then decompress the air at night to release the power, right? So there are many
Batteries are not viable because they contain heavy metals and acids that have to be disposed of over time. And how many batteries you have to need to store enough for a city, it's ridiculous. So water is a very viable alternative for storing solar power. But I still don't understand why it has to be this hill. Where you're drilling here is just limestone. There it actually is no soil. And all of these mountains on the west side are the same limestone formation. Any of them, they're geologically the same, okay? So I don't understand why it has to be this hill so close to a national park. Why can't we move it 5 miles south to another hill?
You know, there's some questions I just can't exactly answer other than this has been a preferred site for over 20 years because of the geography, and that's the most I can tell you. So it's just location, location, location.
It's the roads, it's the access to the roads. Other hills have no road access. Yeah. That's why I don't ride my bike there, because there's no roads.
Yeah. Well, and the water.
And the water, yeah.
The water's close. There's a big supply of water here.
It's also near a really good load pocket. It's a really advantageous area for MD Energy. And I'll definitely get you the contacts.
Did you say load pocket?
Yeah, meaning that there's kind of a loop that goes around Las Vegas, and where this is tying in is a good location to get the power from this plant into all the housing tracks. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, a shorter road, I guess, is a better way. Any other questions? None are too stupid, you guys. Just jump in.
Cindy Phillips, really awesome. So the power that,
Well, while you're working on getting back, I just wanted to share something that I learned on my field trip to the Water District, which is that the Water District is the biggest energy customer in the valley. Oh, so there's a huge energy cost to all this water that's being delivered.
Yeah, typically the Water Districts are the largest energy consumer.
They should have bought the power company when they had a chance.
We'd
be screwed for sure.
So who's the one that decided this? Where's this coming from? Who's making that decision to put it up there?
The original developer was Diamond Energy many, many years ago. It was a guy called, what's his name? I think he's still alive. And actually, the project was fully permitted. And then this was during the California energy debacle when Enron went under. And they had received two power purchase agreements, one from Williams and one from Shell. And during that crisis, Williams went under. They lost their power purchase agreement. And they had already let the contracts, and so the project fell apart. So that was the last time.
So who are you doing it under now?
This would likely be NV Energy. I'd say almost 100% would be your power company. And, you know, a lot of the solar, unfortunately, goes to California as well. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, what can I say? You know?
What do you mean it would go to NV Energy? I don't understand.
Well, they're basically the provider here.
Yeah.
And they would be providing the solar power and basically taking this power and selling it to their customers.
But you're the president of a private company, which
right.
would make a contract with NV Energy.
Correct. Yeah. And then at some point, it would be something like, and it's a good question, by the way, it'd be something like what we call a BOO or a BOT. It would be a buy own transfer or buy own operate, but ultimately would end up with NV Energy. Yep. Us mere mortals usually can't own this kind of stuff, so.
NV Energy is building the largest solar field in the country right now, right? Gemini?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Huge.
Where's
huge.
It? Where's that?
Apex.
Yeah. Apex, really?
Yeah. And that's also getting some battery storage right now as well. But in 10 years, that's gone. Batteries wear out.
Any other questions?
How much is this going to cost?
That's a good question. Now with everything going crazy, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to make an action item with all the escalations and the inflation to get you guys a revised number, because I think the one we're using is probably way low right now.
What is it? Just a tentative number.
Well, 1.3 billion?
Yeah.
Do you already have long-term contracts with NV Energy to buy the power that that's going to pump the water uphill and to sell the solar, the stored, you know, solar back to them, i.e. your closed-loop hydropower? Do you already have those deals in place?
No, the project has to get a little further in the permitting, mm-hmm. and then that will be possible. Good question, by the way.
But that's why I was asking for some contact at NV Energy that I can mm-hmm. talk to make sure that they're not like, oh, no, we don't want that, right?
Also,
well, you guys, we can come back anytime.
Awesome.
And anytime. It's really a pleasure. This is a beautiful town, beautiful area. We understand all your concerns. Some of the comments you guys made, we're actually going to make some changes. Like, we understand the access road, and you want that shut down, and you want it not available to anybody, so do we. So actually, these conversations are good because we can take stuff and feed it back to the team. Feel free, you guys, to put comments into FERC. You'll have lots of opportunities to do that. And any good ideas, let us know. Feel free to contact us by email.
I have a question, which is on your project profile diagram. Unless I'm missing it, I don't see where the pumps are located, but they're obviously going to be located at the bottom of the system.
Correct.
Right. Okay. And so how much noise will those pumps make?
At the surface, zero. Down below, I would say probably, I'm guessing about 60 dB at 300 feet.
Hmm. Okay, but there won't be any surface noise. How deep will these be buried?
About 330 feet.
Wow.
So they're way down. Hmm. And, you know, like I said, they're, you know, the design life on these is pretty much infinite. I mean, most of our hydro facilities are outliving all of us, but, you know, they say 50 years, but you're seeing a lot of this equipment go 100 years.
Mm. Are you anticipating a quagga mussel problem?
You know, no, not with the lining and the treatment. Mm-hmm. So that's a good question, too.
Well, you know, and then you kind of just sloughed off this with chlorine and biocides, but what biocides?
Well, we just have to make sure of Legionnaires and any kind of, you know, we have to keep the algae down and, we have to keep the water quality high.
I get that, and that makes sense. What my concern is that even with the cover on it, there'll be some access to like wildlife, let's say birds or whatever, that you won't be able to fully control. But are they going to be like dying off because they drank water from a poison source?
That's a good question. Yeah. No, we keep the water quality such that, you know, it wouldn't make anybody sick or hurt anybody. So.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Geologist Ritchie.
Yeah.
Biocides can be replaced now with ozone generators, which leave no residue. Mm-hmm. So you should require them to use ozone instead of biocides.
Which, of course, will take more electricity to do the generate that.
Well, we've got some engineers here.
It's good. Still better than biocides. Very nasty.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
So I want to make sure everybody knows that there is a public comment period right now, and the comments go to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and it's open until April 29th. So please get your comments to them.
So the comments that were made here tonight,
just for discussion. Okay. They're not getting forwarded anywhere.
But I think the comment about the canola oil is...
That's funny. Don't say that to McDonald's.
Listen, I'm telling you something renewable. Canola oil, you can make a bunch of it.
Water is more renewable than canola oil.
Corn oil. Thank you guys all very much.
Thank you very much for coming.
Appreciate the comments.
So, we only have one other item.
Sure.
I was out of the room. Thank you.
Okay. Which
is
comments.
Everybody
gets
one.
Can I get another one?
There's thick cream there. He's
taking away. He has some thick pack. What is that?
Can I get another copy?
The thick one is the full pad. We'll leave them here. Leave everything up here with me.
There you go. And there's information on the whole system.
We,
okay.
We're not quite done with our meeting, but we're almost done. We now are taking comments by the general public about anything that's relevant to our jurisdiction. Anybody got any comments they want to make?
What are we doing? Comments?
No comments? All right.
Hey, Meg, we're doing public comments. Just a curious question. On the
The ponds, the waste ponds, are they covered? The Blue Diamond?
No.
The ponds, you know?
No, because they have to evaporate.
Yeah, that's the goal of it, is evaporation.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other comments?
Yeah.
Go
going.
Going. Gone. Next meeting date is April 27th, and Megan won't be here, and I won't be here because we're going to be on vacation, but hopefully the meeting will still happen. And now we're adjourned. Thank you. Don't forget to get cards up here.